is Sportsfeld. We are celebrating. I mean, listen, it's the debut. It's George Springer time, finally, in Toronto. It's lining up. Perfectly for us.
It is the day. I was kind of hoping he was going to debut last night so we could have like a reaction show, but this is fine. This is fine.
I was hoping he'd debut opening day, personally. No, absolutely. Listen, there is always a cost. Hyunjin Ryu immediately goes on the 10-day IL with glute strain.
Yeah, he strained his butt.
We've all been there. The other big trade of this is that Rowdy Tellez is optioned on the offensive side of the ball for Springer, which I guess I'm surprised by.
I don't know how, like, I don't know. I have a... I'll wait to get into my thought on that.
Sure. Frankly, there are a lot of guys who aren't hitting well. So it's like,
yeah.
On one hand, it's like, yeah, you're sending down Rowdy because he's not hitting well. It's like, man, so many guys in this lineup are not hitting well currently.
It's hard for me to understand Rowdy as opposed to Joe Panic.
I would have thought Jonathan Davis
would be the guy. Yeah.
But he has been coming into like basically every game that they're leading defensively, like once that lineup gets to a certain point,
which
he's
like
coming into the eighth and ninth to play center.
God, I also raises a couple questions, but like the fact that they have to bring in an outfielder for two innings every game that they're winning to like make sure they don't mess it up is.
Well, they're sacrificing defense at a lot of positions right now. Is sort of the reality.
That does seem to be the narrative of the first month of the year, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's as much as the knives were out for Biggio, and I would like to he's had a good offensive week. They're using him in a way now where he's not the everyday third baseman. He's rotating around, but they don't really have a finalized idea of what third base is going to be. I understand that. And they've sacrificed a lot of defense there, and they're obviously sacrificing it in the outfield with, you know, Gurriel has his strengths. The arm has continued to be a major weapon for him, but there's a lot of defensive sacrifice going on. They have a good right fielder playing center field, right? Basically
right.
In their everyday lineup. So yeah.
And they have one of their stars playing shortstop, which is also a question mark.
Listen, this is the Bobichet playing shortstop, which
and
is,
I know that 2 weeks ago I was like, he's only played 82 games, whatever, but it's
yes. Well, I think this is a telling conversation about where people think the team is or where they want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think the distinction for me is the difference between a very good team and a team that is getting better and truly capital C contender, right? Because capital C contender, you don't hold your breath every time the ball hits the shortstop. It's just sort of like a thing that you can't have and be like a confident contending team. But if you're still, if you're at the line that this is just going to be a very good team this year and they're taking a next step and it doesn't have to all be in 2021, I think Bo's got to stick there.
This is probably an incorrect position and probably a expression of how little I understand athletic conditioning for professional athletes. But it's hard to not really worry about like Vlad's groin.
Mm.
It seems like there's like three or and like I know that's part of playing first base. So I'm not saying he can't do it. But it really seems like there's three or four throws a game where he's really stretching out there.
And listen, before this podcast even gets 5 minutes old, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is here. Like, it's man, oh man. Last night, three home runs last night, Jake. Talk all you want about him stretching his groin.
There was a game, I'm trying to remember what game it was. Might have been in the Yankees series. I forget. There was a game recently I think it was the Red Sox. They were down in the bottom or top of the ninth, I forget which. They're down to their last out, essentially. And Vlad was up. He ended up not walking at all. Like, we lost. But it was so fun. And, like, to have a guy who is appointment viewing every time. And to have a guy who, when he's the last guy up, and he's your last chance is exciting, is so fun.
Like that at bat might have had the only bat swing he's taken all year long in it.
Yeah. But it was still like,
absolutely.
It was, even though they lost, it was so fun having him up in that spot. And then like last, like really hard to have any complaints hitting two bombs off Max Scherzer. Yeah. And then another bomb opposite field.
Listen, his numbers are through the roof. He's been unbelievable. And as Ben Nicholson-Smith has done a good job, I think, of pointing out, nothing like crazily unsustainable was happening, right?
Yeah.
Like he's just absolutely dominating the strike zone. He's completely locked in. To your point about it being Max Scherzer yesterday is like, you just can't make a mistake to him. And he also, because he's in such command right now, makes guys make mistakes, if that sort of makes sense. Right?
Yeah.
He's in complete control of his at-bats. It's unbelievable.
There's a lot of pitching scared to him by very good pitchers this year, which I appreciate. And I thought our friend Drew Fairservice made a good point on Twitter last night after the Grand Slam. That was kind of like, Max Scherzer doesn't miss very often, and he can make you look like a fool, but when he misses, you still have to be a good enough hitter to capitalize on a Max Scherzer miss, which is what Vlad did last night, especially on the Grand Slam. And I think like there's more to it than just like he hit two home runs off Max Scherzer. It's like capitalizing on those moments against one of the best pitchers in the league of the last 5 years. The best pitcher, like he is truly everything we wanted him to be and more. Like, I think he's third in the majors in wins above replacement now.
I can't believe there was a time where we were worried about Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
It's crazy, right?
It's laughable. Laughable. He's younger than, somebody put on a list today, he's younger than like 30 of the top 100 prospects that are in the major leagues right now. Like, it's good stuff. I'm thrilled. Every time he's at the plate, I'm absolutely thrilled. And you can go back and check the tapes. Anytime I got to talk about Vlad before he came up or when he was first coming up, the thing I said I was looking forward to most was a thing I love about baseball, which, and you see this in Trout sort of, is the like everyday brilliance, the casual brilliance, where it's like, I think to the point you're sort of making, is the three home run day is easy to obviously appreciate and understand, but like the every single day, every single at bat, like he went 2 weeks to start the season with like, you just, nobody got him out basically, right? Like his OBP was over 500. He either absolutely hit a piss rocket or like he just missed one. Like he was crazy, crazy good. And again, nothing like crazy unsustainable. He's obviously on a hot streak, but it's not like when Gurriel sort of goes on a hot streak and it's 100% based on like him hitting everything. It's like he's also drawing walks, commanding the zone, like great hitters do. So
I mean, he's got three more walks than he does strikeouts, which
unreal.
The way he swings and the way he plays are like, that shouldn't happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think the thing that is fun, one of the many things that is fun and thing I enjoy about Vlad is sort of what you were saying, like even when he gets out, like he had an out, I think on the weekend, that was just like, he just like hit a fucking rocket up the middle that happened to find an infielder like on the ground.
Yeah.
And it was still like, okay, like if that's how you if that's how you get Vlad out, fair enough. And it's just the kind of thing where like every time he makes contact, it's exciting.
He hits everything so hard all the time. And like, again, the only problem was last 2 years when he was 21 and 20 years old was that he was hitting the ball like 114 miles an hour into the ground.
Right.
And now he's hitting it with any launch angle at all, and it just like is nonstop. It's awesome. I'm thrilled. You had to be absolutely thrilled about it.
It's, and like his spray chart even is encouraging because it's not just, you know, like I don't mean to pick on him because I like him a lot, but like it's not just like the Marcus Semien chart.
Right.
Like, he's got 3 home runs to opposite field this year. 3 of the 7 are to opposite field. And he's got, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12, I think, if I'm counting that correctly. 12 of his 27 hits are opposite field.
Crazy.
Which is just, like, what else can you say? What else can you say?
It's awesome. I'm so excited. I just honestly so excited. It's, you know, I was sort of explaining the other day to somebody who just wanted like a recap of the Jays season because they were, you know, it's been a fairly, I don't know, but exciting, but like people are generally seem to be talking about the team when they're playing. And especially when they're doing well, like last night, I think a lot of people were talking about Vlad. He really is basically the whole story to me at the start of the season. I know that there's been some like, obviously we'll talk about the defense, we'll talk about the pitching, but boy, oh boy, he's been the story of the season for me.
How can you not? I don't know if we've ever seen something like this with the Blue Jays so far.
It's awesome. Boy, oh boy, Jake. We love talking about baseball, and we love drinking Left Field Brewery.
We do.
It's been an awesome month. It's thrilling to get to drink Left Field beers on our podcast. I got to tell you. And they're like, you know, you get to do your own podcast. That's great. That's your own. That's good living. And then you get to drink beer on the podcast. Yeah, that's great too. And then you're like, no. The beer company wants you to drink their beer on the show. It's like, damn, feels great. and of all those companies that could do that, we get to hear from Left Field Brewery, which is a personal favorite of ours, which I would drink all the time, even if they weren't giving them to me. Boy, oh boy. It's the last beer of the month. I'm sad to see them go, but what an incredible month it has been. We're closing it out with the Loviste, the Mojito Sour. It's a 4.2. You know me, Jake. You know me and having exactly one sour.
Exactly one sour. Capital E, capital O, capital S.
There that is.
I don't know if that picked up. I cheers to the microphone.
The crack of the crack shirt did. Inspired by tasty Cuban cocktail name from the on-base celebration popularized by many Latin American players. We all remember that.
Of course.
And they got Jose Reyes. Loviste Mojito Sour, a tart quenching ale packed with lime juice and a zest with a crisp hint of spearmint. Yeah, that nails it.
That seems right.
That's exactly what it tastes like. Celebrate victory with this satisfying spring sipper. Lime. While preparing tostones and mojo pork bolsitas. Oh, boy.
Lime, always a good addition.
Yeah. I find myself having lime drinks the last year. Last year, lockdown has been lime drink central for me.
Lime down.
Mm. 2 years ago, it was mango. Mango-flavored things. I was like, oh, man. Gotta have that mango.
Now it's just lime?
Well, this seems to be... The trend has been replaced by lime. I still have, like, salsa now. I have to have mango salsa. It's so good.
Interesting.
Mango salsa is so good.
I'm nothing against mango salsa. I'm not a salsa snob. I'll eat whatever salsa.
For sure. For sure. That's true. When I say have to have it, that's commercial speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, of course, the spoonful of good news with George Springer. Not without its tangy downside, which is the 10 danger list for Hyunjin Ryu, which is tough sledding right now. Not what this team needs.
I mean, I feel like you should probably have more than 2 healthy starters.
Holy moly, you'd like that. Crazy. Guys dropping like flies, left and right. You're almost a whole pitching staff made up of guys who are not on the pitching staff. So it's Matt's new number one, but with a long shot is Matt's. And then Ray. And then who knows? We really don't know. I guess Anthony Kay is in there. Anthony Kay is in there, that's 3 left-handers, basically.
I saw. Let me find. Montoyo had – someone had the outline, the plan for the rest of the week because the schedule sort of play is in the Jays' favor a little bit with how the injuries shake out because assuming, of course, Ryu only misses one start, which – at this point in the year, who knows? Here we go. Robbie Ray on Friday, bullpen day on Saturday, and TBA on Sunday. Although it sounds like Ross Stripling is a possibility.
TBA is also bullpen day.
unless it's Ross Stripling, which is
and Ross Stripling, Ross Stripling is also Ross Stripling is also a bullpen sort of bullpen day. Yeah. But they have, also, I guess they have 11 relievers right now, I think I saw.
Yeah. There was also some talk I saw earlier today that Big Nate potentially Tuesday or next Sunday, which to me means question mark.
We'll see. We'll see in June how many, boy, oh boy, how many, how close Nate Pearson is. It's like the Springer thing. We're recording this before the game even starts. He better show up and be there. It's a mystery to me.
So
it's all just footage from Dunedin as far as I'm concerned.
Would you like me to spray some negative pessimism all over the George Springer news?
No, let's let's do a classic like radio tease, and we'll say okay. Jake is gonna officially wet the blanket. He is going to
piss all over everyone's parade.
Piss on the parade and let you know what he really thinks. No,
Cassie didn't like that phrase. Apparently,
word choice.
Yeah,
phrasing.
It's very dynamic. We'll see in just 1 minute. So everybody, obviously, I'll include myself, very hyped. We get George Springer. We get George Springer leading off and DHing. For the Toronto Blue Jays, it's Springer, Bichette, Guerrero, Grichuk, Biggio, Semien, Panic, Gurriel, Jansen, and Mats tonight against the Washington Nationals, who, by the way, look like a shell of a team that won a World Series. Holy cow.
Especially for all the additions they made this winter.
With no Soto, there is, I'd say, not a very strong lineup.
Yeah, but like it is, though. Like you add Josh Bell and Kyle. The shell of Kyle Schwarber, I guess, but
both those guys might be bad. Is the thing.
Yeah,
baseball is so cruel. there's like 10 good players in the whole league, right?
we have one of them.
Yeah, exactly right. We have one. As much as everybody likes Bichette, like there's only like 10 guys that are like in that super, super, super upper crust. Anyway, Jake, you promised us cold water.
Okay.
Going to the sink and splashing your face sort of moment here.
So I'm going to preface this with I am very excited to watch George Springer be a Blue Jay tonight.
Yes.
I am not saying this in a way to suggest that I am not thrilled and that I haven't been waiting for this game for a month and all that.
Sure.
However, and it's also possible that by the time this episode comes out tomorrow, this has been proven incorrect and it doesn't matter.
Sure.
However, they optioned Rowdy Tellez to make room for him, which, like, fine. Rowdy hasn't been great. But that says to me that the DH spot is filled for a little bit.
Oh, yes. Agreed.
By George Springer, which, again, fair. No, there's no universe, as much as I like Rowdy, there's no universe in which I'm like, oh, I'd rather have Rowdy at DH than Springer.
Well, I would say...
However...
I would say you might be looking at, like, Teoscar when he comes back is probably going to filter through there too, right?
Also, yeah, also true.
Anyway,
regardless, that's fine. Here's where I'm concerned. Like, 48 hours ago, the Blue Jays were like, well... He can hit out of a cage, but he can't really run.
Yeah.
And isn't ready to run. I am not a doctor. I am certainly not qualified to make any injury statements. I'm not part of the sports medicine team headed by very competent, smart people in the Blue Jays organization.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried that, like, 48 hours ago, he wasn't ready to run in a Major League Baseball game. And now he is. And I'm not saying that he's like still injured or he's hobbled, but it really feels like I'm just saying I could see a world where like on Saturday they're like, he re-aggravated it.
Mm. Tough.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Listen, anybody can get hurt at any time is something we are obviously learning, and especially this year. But listen, it's Obviously, that's a concern that is never going to be far from my mind. But you're also looking at DHing today, day off Thursday.
Going into the week. So he is
basically true. Just taking cuts tonight. And like,
and I'm not even saying that if he's at DH for a week, like I'm concerned about that.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned that he wasn't there 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I know it's how injuries work. You know, you aren't ready, then you are.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing that little asterisk, but
there. Listen, you're concerned. It's understandable. Boy, we get Steven Matz, who I, you know, just to your point, this could already be disproven. We could already be like, oh no, Steven Matz is bad again, you know?
Yep. And like also Springer in the first at bat tonight, just like hits one to the moon. It's also like, oh, then I guess it's fine.
Well, that's not running, you know, that's not running.
Right. Yeah. Fair. I guess fine. He hits a triple.
Right. Listen, if he has to run tonight, that's good news, I guess. I think, yeah, you know, obviously Jordan Romano coming back and it being like, whoa, I don't think he's actually back immediately when he gets there. you're right, though. They either have to be back or they aren't. I guess I trust that there's, you know, they wouldn't have him in the lineup if they weren't. You know, there's no real pressure to be felt as much as the start has been.
For sure.
Rocky, up and down, I guess, sort of is more of a better word.
I think you could even argue that that's potentially a benefit to being in Dunedin.
Yeah.
That like that pressure isn't there. Cause like who really cares in Dunedin what they do?
Interesting to see Rowdy get sent down for me because he's left-handed and very right-handed. Right-handed team.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I thought he's been better lately for sure.
Yes.
But he was so bad to start. I also have another concern about the Blue Jays.
What's that?
And I want to get your take on this because I want to know how justifiable I am in my concern. It's the left fielder of the Toronto Blue Jays, Lourdes Gurriel, who I really like, but he is, I think, statistically like one of the worst players in the league right now.
Yeah.
By FWAR.
Well, he's no Danny Jansen. Unfortunately,
but I know that Gurriel is like his thing is being streaky,
mm-hmm.
but I'm starting to worry. I won't lie, especially because like we kind of talked in this offseason, like when there was the Lindor rumors, he was kind of the trade bait, and a lot of people were like, well, I don't know, he's pretty young and his career numbers are pretty good, and like his career numbers are actually at the plate, they're better than Lindor's. And now it's like, and I'm not saying like that's what made us not get Lindor or anything,
right?
But now it's kind of like
well, he does do this. This is sort of a story of his career, is these like when he's lost it looks terrible, because sort of to the opposite of the point about Vlad is like he doesn't seem to have great control of the zone. So
yeah.
When he's hitting everything, it's like, man, that guy hits everything thrown at him. It's incredible. And then when he's not, I think just sort of the looking at him in recent at-bats, he's just like, he's completely at the whim of the pitcher. And like when they change speeds on him, he's usually on the wrong speed. It's just been a tough go for him. You have to hold out a little longer that this is just sort of one of the ups and downs that he goes through. Cause it generally, like you said.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm like giving up on him, but I'm concerned.
I just like, you know, I think, a couple times, I think 2019 and maybe 2018 or maybe 2020. I forget now. It all blurs together. But like he was sent down a couple times. There was the when he couldn't play second, they had to send him down. He was really struggling at the plate and he came back and he was very good. And then, you know, he's had a couple ups and downs where they sent him down because he was so horrendously bad at the plate that he needed to like totally reset and came back strong both times. So I think the difference is now he sort of has to stay at the major league level while he makes those adjustments and has that change. But, you know, it is funny to me. I did sort of catch myself this week how funny it is to be like so overly concerned about Kevin Biggio on one hand and then on the other hand be like, well, I mean, Lourdes is going to figure it out. Like, right. It is sort of funny that, you know, I catch myself giving the benefit to that one time. And I'm going to do the same if Teoscar comes back, right? I'm going to give him so much rope because first of all, he had to go through COVID, and second of all, like, he's starting late, and third of all, like, he's already a streaky guy, so, like, it's going to be magnified. I just think it's really funny in that way. It's like, but also, like, being very critical of Kapan, who is learning a new position on the fly as well, and, you know, has continued to do the thing that he has a major league skill at, which is draw walks and control the zone, and you know, starting to do small things and put together hits, which is, like, that's being a super utility left-handed bat on this team. That's what that's what's going to have to be.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But yeah, boy, they're not good defensively. There's no question. I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum already. You know, every week we come on here and say they don't have a third baseman, and they don't.
I'm like, what else can you say at this point? Yeah. Like the left side of the infield is scary. But it's scary, but it's also, I think your point you made earlier about Bo is also correct, where the third base concerns me more, I think, I would say.
Sure.
Like, not that.
Yeah.
And also, like, maybe Espinal should be the everyday.
I was going to say, I'm ready to stake some claim on, like, we wanted Espinal all along. Well, I've always, you can't catch me not wanting Espinal. You can see it, right? It's blatantly obvious that his hands are, like, perfectly suited to be a fielder in a way that, like, you really can't hope to, you know, develop. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
He's just very good at fielding. And who know, and this is one of those things, is at this point, I honestly don't even know if he's very good at fielding or he's just a good fielder and everybody else is really bad. That is also, like, a thing I'm not sure about.
The other thing with,
I think Randall Grichuk is a great example of that, right? We look at him like, man, Grichuk's actually a really good fielder. It's like, he's a good fielder.
But he's between Biggio and
Biggio Lourdes. And Lourdes, and, like, Jonathan Davis is the only other competent outfielder they actually have, right? It's like, he looks like a very good fielder.
I think my thing with Espinal is, like, he's competent at least.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't understand, like, he's not worse than Joe Panic at the
plate. I know. Panic's gonna get at bats.
We're seeing too much of him. I'm sorry. I've seen too much of him this year.
As soon as they brought him back, you knew.
Yeah, I know.
It's batting left. They don't have any lefties.
I know. I know. But just, like, this isn't what I wanted for this season.
Let me ask you this, Jake. And I'm not presenting this as my take, but I'm just asking a hypothetical question, right? And I'll see how you feel about it. We talk about them to the need to have a real third baseman who can play third and defensively, you know?
Yes.
We talk about the need to have more left-handed hitting in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not have just kept Travis Shaw?
No. Like, yes, but no.
Right.
Like, I know he's off to a great start this year.
He's cooled off and is back down to the person that he always is. Like, have a great start, but he's back down to, like, 90 OPS plus.
I feel like you keep Travis Shaw in the sense that at least you can kind of trust him to be a Major League Baseball player.
Sure.
But he was also so bad last year.
I mean, he was actually, yeah. I mean, listen. I don't think you should. I'm just sort of throwing this as a thing.
I understand.
He checks a lot of boxes, but he very good chance he's just washed.
I understand the argument, but, like, he hasn't got, like, his numbers the last 3 years are not good.
Yeah.
2018 he was fine, and, like, but he was one of those guys. He's a Blue Jay reclamation guy. Of, like, oh, a couple years ago he was great. But you can make this argument with Joe Panic. Joe Panic was excellent in 2015.
Sure, but they are sort of Panic's a weird one. They obviously love Panic a lot because, like, this thing that he's, like, a utility guy is, like, only happening now with the Jays. Like,
he's never played third base before.
They just sort of made that up. Like, yeah, Joe Panic, utility guy. And you're like, yeah. And then you look at it and you're like, wait, no.
He just, like, feels like a utility
guy. He played
guy.
Nothing but second for decades. Yeah, it's interesting.
That's a good point. I feel like, yeah, I think a guy like Travis Shaw does give you sort of the comfort of a major league third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
But are they significantly better with him there? Like, other than the one really awful error that Kevin made the other day that, like, cost them a game, Is the season going that much different with Travis Shaw instead of Joe Panik? Probably not.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't think he moves the needle that much.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think he does either. I think it's akin to being like asking if you have buyer's remorse on not having Jay Happ right now. It's like, sure. It's like, yeah, but, right? It's like not, sort of, but not really.
And even like statistically, like looking at his WAR, like he's a literally a zero offensive WAR player and a minus 0.1 defensive WAR player this year. So like statistically, he adds nothing. Nothing changes.
Yeah. It's Chris Bryant. It's Chris Bryant.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I think Jonah mentioned Kyle Seager, but Seattle's having a good start. So
yeah. Knows, Oakland's kind of turned around too. So my Matt Chapman,
every so often I just open up the third baseman pages and be like, yeah, that'll do. You know, hilariously, Giovanni Urshela would be perfect, but here she goes. Listen, I was one thing I have to let myself not get mad at, because like Giovanni Urshela is just like it's not possible.
Couldn't see that one coming. Yeah. Literally, you couldn't see that one coming.
Absolutely not. Yeah, it's not so bad. I think obviously Vlade being great makes it easy to stomach. You know, I think I'm very interested to see what they are like with Springer in the lineup, because I am trying to calibrate sort of, you know, my view of where they are. I think they're good enough to be consistently good. When you especially look at a team like the Nationals, they played last night, and you're like, really not a great team on paper, but like they're sort of indicative of how every team is sort of the same level. So I think there's no reason they can't be a good team this year, a very good team.
I will say two things on that point, and then I think we've exhausted our Jays talk for the day. The first is that, to bring up the 2015 team again,
I was trying not to do it, but there is an obvious thing to point out that I am...
which I assume is what I'm about to point out, which is the run differential.
Well, I was going to point out the part of, like, they were already a good offensive team. What turned them into a contender? And it was the fact that they upgraded their defense. Right. They got a shortstop who, even though Tulo didn't hit very well, it's like, you remember how when Reyes was playing short right before they traded him, every time he got hit to him, you were like, oh, he's going to blow this.
Yep.
Right? Like, that is what turned them into a contender.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, I would just point out, again, akin to 2015, they are currently a 500 team, and they are sixth in the majors in run differential.
Absolutely. And they've done it without what should be, you know, one of their best offensive players, their starting center fielder, and, you know, with
despite the terrible defense,
40% of a pitching staff.
Yeah, and despite the terrible defense, they're still plus 15.
So listen, I think it's a very good team, and if they want to push the chips in, they can. It's not that hard to figure out where. Like we said, like if they really want to push the chips in, they can just get a really high end third baseman, and maybe you do part with somebody, and like a third baseman and a pitcher, and you're right there. So
yeah.
And even with, I'll say this to sort of close this out as well, to bring back to the Bo defense thing. That's an overarching thing. And how I said, you know, contenders don't have question marks at shortstop. It's like, well, honestly, to be honest with you, I mean, the Yankees are playing Gleyber Torres at shortstop, who is not.
Right. Rufino Odor hit cleanup the other day.
Right. Like, it's not, it is right now in baseball, because there aren't that many teams with that, it is possible for them to be a contender with Bichette at shortstop. It would be nerve-wracking, but it's not like impossible if they're, you know, able to upgrade in other places. So I'm still very optimistic, very, very optimistic.
Yeah, and I will say, on that optimistic note, sort of a counter my pessimism earlier, this is a purely non-statistical eye test thing. Looking at the Blue Jays lineup today with George Springer in it, that 1-6 has a ton of potential.
I'm coming around on... I almost let Jonah sour me too much on Semien.
No, don't let... Don't. I'm not taking that pill yet.
I think being out of the... I think being out of the leadoff and sort of out of the spotlight, I think it's going to be good for him.
Yeah. And then you add, hopefully, Teoscar comes back healthy, or as healthy as he can be.
Yeah. If Semien's a pleasant surprise bottom half of the order guy, you're doing okay.
And to your point, like, we need Semien to be, like, we don't need him to be Vlad.
Yeah. Well, I think that's sort of the real thing, right, is if you can take Semien Biggio and take that and have that be your 6-7 or however you want to do it, 5-6, have that be the bottom half of your lineup. That was the 1-2 earlier this year, right? That sort of is the lineup
right.
progression and development you want to see and how you go from a 500 team to where they are now. So, again,
I would also point out just one more thing to point out.
Of course. I'll never be exhausted of Chase.
On the defensive side of things, they have allowed the second least amount of runs in the league.
Yeah. Well, the bullpen's been unbelievable. I can't even.
Yes. I'm just saying. Crazy. They're in the bottom half of runs scored as well, but yeah. They've only allowed 77 runs all year. So
bullpen's been crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. That is it. We're going to open up the mailbag and give you some recommendations on what to watch and what to listen to after this. Oh boy, we could just keep talking Blue Jays, we've realized, but we have to rein ourselves in to give you what you need, which is recommendations on music and, of course, wrestling. It is Song of the Week, presented by Certified Music Knower Better. It's Jake, what is the Song of the Week this week?
Song of the Week this week is Morbid Obsessions by We Are the Union. I'm going ska 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, We Are the Union is one of my favorite ska bands going. Their last album, Self Care, came out a couple years ago, was a big one for me. And they announced their new album, Ordinary Life, which comes out in June, I think. And Morbid Obsessions is the lead single with a very cool video. It sounds like a very personal record, and it's one I'm very excited for. And check it out if you like punk or ska.
Who doesn't love ska?
Right? Smart people. Don't. No, smart people do.
Sure.
That's what I mean. I'm very tired.
Match of the week. I'm gonna promo what should be happening tonight on AEW Dynamite. We're getting Orange Cassidy against Penta El Zero M or Pentagon Jr. If you watched Lucha Underground, and I've spoken of Orange Cassidy many times on this show. Interesting to see how this is going to happen. This is sort of a super like. Supercharged, like sort of a ninja skeleton versus Orange Cassidy, who is like hands in his pockets, sunglasses on his face. So interesting little mix this will be. Orange Cassidy is one of those guys you always wonder how somebody else is going to have to adjust to his style, which is always a fun thing you get to look coming into in a match and sort of picture how things may play out. And you often get some things you did expect and some things you didn't. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun night. Got George Springer and that at the same time. So it's going to be awesome. Jake, we could do What Are We Watching, or do we just want to talk about The Circle?
I think we just want to talk about The Circle.
Yeah, because, yeah, watching baseball, Third Rock still, and then it's all The Circle, when it comes out, I mean, it's appointment viewing.
Yeah, so we've watched, by the time this comes out, we'll have finished the season because the final episodes are out today. We've watched the first of the four final episodes.
Okay, we're not at the final episodes. We didn't realize. Okay. It's busy day, but we'll probably. We saved that for the weekend previously, but.
That's smart. I get it. I love this season.
Yeah.
It kind of took. I feel like there's obviously no one on this season as purely enjoyable as Joey.
You'll never get Joey and Shuby again, no matter how hard you try.
But. There's something, I feel like all my complaints about last season have been addressed for this season. I kind of like that it's more tactical and like it's friendly, but it's more like you have to be friendly to win the game. Not like it's not RuPaul's best friends race.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I would agree. Some incredible work done by some players so far. Some people that I underestimated when it first started, I've been like, whoa, wait a minute. Pretty well played. I will say that the challenge that outed the one catfish.
Oh man!
As soon as that happened, I was like, "This is over."
So good,
so good, such a good idea. Interesting.
I will also say that I don't want to give anything away in case.
Yeah, I'm trying.
It's only been out for like a week or so, but the twist at the end of the second batch of episodes. So it's the end of episode 8.
Yes.
That came out last week. I am not by any means a reality TV aficionado. It's basically The Circle in Drag Race.
Yeah.
Is all I watch. But like,
same, actually.
A top level reality show, game show twist.
Very impressed. Very impressed. Still waiting. And I think we get, I think we're getting it, we talked about this last year, the way I would want to play it. Although Melissa tells me that I am doing, that I would be not successful.
No, it's definitely one of those shows that I think to myself, like, I'd be great at this, but yeah. I'm sure I wouldn't.
Yeah. As I said, I think mid-50s married would be the way to go in, but.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But Melissa assures me that wouldn't happen. Well, not that wouldn't happen, but like that strategy wouldn't pay off for me. That like when it came down to it, people would vote me off. But I'm like, my story is I'm money is for my family, obviously, easy. And you know, you get to be nice to everybody because you're like the mom figure.
Hmm.
Anyway.
I feel like you have to be the choice where there's no way able to read you as like creepy or manipulative.
Right. But yeah, the challenges have been good. The anonymous questions was really good.
Yeah.
The special power that the one player is granted played perfectly. I was amazed at how well that got played.
Yeah. So, oh my God.
I was like, wow, that's the best play I've ever seen in Circle.
And like how well it went according to plan. Yeah. Was amazing.
Yeah. We were in awe of that. Yeah. Without getting too specific. I thought one total bottle play, just like, one person came in, was just never close.
Yeah. Can't wait. I can't wait to finish recording.
Yeah.
And go finish it. To be
honest. Yeah. So now we're going to speed through the mailbag because we got Circle to watch. No.
George Springer in the Circle. hard to argue with Wednesday evening.
Things are going okay. Mailbag questions. First one is from Shanna Planner. What is the appropriate number of 3 home run games for a 22-year-old batter to have? I mean, any more than one is being selfish, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I would say any more than one. The answer is one, because it's because Vlad is the answer.
Man, and you know what's so funny about last night is he was like, that's my career game. I've never had 3 home runs in a game before, ever. As like, and people were obviously rightfully excited about it, but didn't it also feel like this is not his last 3 home run game?
Yeah, and I also like this idea of him being like, oh, I've never hit 3 home runs. I know he's counting like junior.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's got like 195 major league games or something. It's like, it took me almost a season and a third to hit 3 home runs in a game. What a long time to wait.
Garrett Swan, what creation of the Super League moment can you remember from North American sports that every fan hated unanimously? I don't think anybody likes offside review. I don't think there's anybody out there that's like, this is good this is good and going well.
Yeah, that seems to be a big one. It's still not as like, I don't know if I can think of anything in North American sports that was hated quite like the Super League.
Pretty incredible.
I feel like if there is anything, it's definitely in the NHL. even like baseball, like the new extra innings rule. Like I'm not a huge fan, but it's also now like, okay, I guess that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Connor W, do you like your names? I love my name.
Yeah, I do too. Well, sort of.
You got a great name.
My legal name is Jacob.
Sure.
And I hate being called Jacob, but it's good because literally nobody in my life calls me that.
Right.
Like, it's my legal name, but it's also not really, like, no one has ever called me that. It's not even like, Jake was, like, picked up. Like, from the minute I was born, I was Jake. But I don't have anything against the name Jacob for others, but I don't like it for me.
Sure. I went through a period where I didn't like Andrew, but I'm fine with it now. It doesn't really matter.
Mm.
Don't get it very often. Gleason was listening to an old episode during the real bad Twitter days. Twitter's so much worse now. It's I can't even believe how we complained about Twitter in like 2014. It's like drinking poison now. It's like unbelievable how bad.
It makes me feel bad every time I read it.
Which leads into the question, what is the reason you have Twitter still? I'm not well.
I'm Twitter pilled. I'll never get rid of it.
Exactly right. They'll have to shut it down and just let me post in silence.
I definitely hit, like, there was a period there where we were all like, ugh.
Yeah.
Boy, if I could get rid of Twitter, I would.
And then we didn't, and here we are.
Yeah, we didn't, and now I never will.
Yeah. Exactly right.
I still have it because it's something to do every day.
Absolutely. I need the rush.
It's part of my daily. It's not even a rush for me. It's like part of my daily habits.
I need every emotion that it gives me, which is just anger.
Which is all of them.
It's so bad. It's crazy.
It's so bad.
It's crazy. I've never seen, I'll be honest with you, I guess I've never seen like a form of mass media like have a full life cycle like this in my life.
Yeah. And it's funny too. I'm not used to it. We talk about, like, we've talked a lot in the last few weeks about how, like, people liking different music than us, or people having different sports takes than us, now doesn't bother us anymore. But then, which is true and great, but then we read Twitter for, like, 15 minutes, and I'm angrier than I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, but it's only because it's become, like, I'll give you this example. I talked about this before. The never-ending culture war is what really wears me down.
Yeah.
Where, like, this thing comes... I'll tell you what it was. Is the conservatives eating steak, right?
Right.
It's not even a... what it is to me. It's like, it's not even about anything. This isn't any... Like, it's not anything.
It's not even, like, true to what was even
it
does, said.
Exactly right. None of it is anything. It's just, like, that every single thing that happens is, like, this absolute blow-up. And I know why they do it is because they get... like affirmation from Twitter for it, like,
of course,
good and bad, right? It's such
and
a
also,
sickening what an awful place.
I've said this before, and like I feel this is the same kind of thing but on a different side of the coin. The here's a really bad opinion, oh, you're an idiot for engaging with this,
yes,
drives me crazy. Or here's an argument that wasn't, like, here's my response to an argument that didn't happen.
Yeah, crazy.
Drives me nuts.
Bad. It's bad. Melissa, wife, thank you, honey, for putting wife in. What's the best park you've ever had? Allegedly, pardon me. What's the best park you've ever allegedly had a beer in?
It's got to be Chrissy Pitts while the Maple Leafs are playing.
Yeah, that was the tweeted an answer as well. I think I like Ramsden Park also in Toronto. We had a nice time.
Ramsden Park is nice.
I was walking through there and I was like, I lived here for 10 years and I had no idea this was here.
I feel like there's a lot of parks in the city that like. Are wonderful that I don't really experience.
Yeah, and like close to a place, close to areas that I had been going to for a long, very long time. I was like, oh.
The answer is not Trinity Bellwoods is really the
point. Yeah. Kara, what's the dumbest thing you've purchased during lockdown?
I feel like my purchases have been like reasonably.
Man, I'll tell you, mine have just like tapered off. I'm just like, I've stopped. I bought a webcam so I could do Wrestling Brain Clear, and like literally every purchase for the last like 7 months is food and like that's it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
food and beer is the only thing I bought for so long.
I'm looking around the house seeing if I can think of anything that's not food or beer also. Oh, this isn't really like a stupid purchase. It's a great idea. It's just like I bought that the Nintendo Switch workout thing. I've used it like 3 times.
Sure. I think mine is Blackberry stock.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a really good one.
Fucking idiot I am. Stupid asshole. What am I
thinking?
Mine is
like 2 Top Shot packs.
What's yours, honey?
That little scented stuff that's supposed to smell like pee for the dog.
Oh, yeah. We did. Oh, I did buy that. I tried to make on our patio a little space that he would pee. So I tried to make like recreate the outdoors. So I bought
right.
soil and like a tray. And we sprayed this like dog pee spray on it. And he just sniffed it and was like, okay, well, this isn't outside. So I don't really care. So yeah, the soil in that tray. Not expensive, luckily.
Yeah.
Everything else is like literally just food and beer. You did end up using the soil now because we have all these plants. That's true. Our plants are doing great. It feels good. Who has more home runs in 2021, Vlad or Springer? I'm taking Vlad easy.
Yeah, Vlad for sure.
Vlad easy. Vlad. First of all, he's out to a huge lead. And second of all, he's going to hit like the most home runs of anybody. So, Arun, what is the best new movie you watched during lockdown? Doesn't have to be new, as in it came out recently. Just a new viewing experience.
Man, I don't even know what the last movie I watched was.
I think Palm Springs, probably. I think we've...
Yeah. That's a great choice.
Only because we haven't watched many movies, and most of the movies we've watched were like one of us had seen it already.
Yeah, same.
We were watching movies purely for the nostalgia.
Yeah, same. I think Palm Springs might be the only like new thing we've watched, which I loved and it was great. But speaking on that note, this year was the first Oscars I haven't watched maybe ever. Sure. Because I've seen none of the movies, which is also unusual for me.
I was mentioning I sort of forgot that movies came out in the last year.
Yeah, same. When they,
I was like, there were movies, and it's like, obviously there are movies. What am I a fucking idiot? Obviously there were movies made.
I realized it was the Oscars this last week, like on Thursday.
Yeah,
and my brain was like, what could possibly be nominated?
Every now and then I'm super dumb. It's great. Last one. Which Toronto athletes, past or present, would you want to see in the makeover challenge? I think personally, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. would kill it.
That would be a good one.
Lots to work with. Big yeah. Skinny guy, already has the flair for the hair. You know he'd go with it.
Obviously Serge Ibaka.
Sure.
Would do great. No hockey players.
Yeah.
Although I feel like, I don't know, who has a flow? I feel like there's some hockey players with like flow.
I mean, Austin Matthews is a hype beast. He wears his.
Yeah, I could see Austin maybe doing well in that. I feel like TFC guys.
Sure. Jefferson Soltado or whatever it is.
Soltado or whatever. Soltado, yeah.
who I assume was, as Jake said, Serge immediately. Who apparently is cool. I don't know. Jefferson.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Listen, I'm into it.
The people I know who follow TFC more closely than I do seem excited about it. So great.
Great. He's right. Yeah, great answers. Oh, boy.
Nailed it.
We did nail it. We usually do.
We're so good at this.
All right. We'll be right back. Not right back. We'll be back to answer the question that is always on everybody's mind. People are asking us this everywhere we go all the time. It's ridiculous. I can't get a coffee in the city without being asked this. That's not true. I haven't bought a coffee.
You don't live in this city either.
No, I haven't bought a coffee. I bought two coffees in like 6 months, I think.
Huh.
What's to become? Anyway.
Oh, we're still
well, yeah, I was sort of trapped in a moment there. Anyway, we're going to go through it all. Not the coffee thing, but the question answer, whether we are sad or not sad after this. Hey there, just a quick reminder, the April Brewery of the Month for Sportsfeld is Left Field Brewery out of Toronto, one of our absolute favorites. They have so many excellent options and so many delicious beers. We have been absolutely blessed to be able to drink these beers throughout the month. That's Left Field Brewery in Toronto, leftfieldbrewery.ca. Plenty of cool features and things that you can enjoy, including free home delivery on orders over $45. That is lowered from their previous fee as well. You can use promo code Sportsfeld on your online checkout order so you know that we are the ones that sent you. And then thank us later when you're drinking that delicious, wonderful, excellent, tasty, awesome Left Field Brewery beer. So many cool options to pick from. The new Glorioso, the ice cold beer, the new 300 hard seltzers, Greenwood. Oh, there's so many incredible beers. You cannot pick just one to give you in the promo. That's leftfieldbrewery.ca. Free home delivery on orders over $45. Let them know we sent you. Use promo code Sportsfeld at checkout. All right. We wrap things up as we often do. Not often. Always. Always do this. Every single time. Is the question on everyone's minds when they see us in the street, when they meet us in the coffee shops. As I mentioned the coffee shops. whether we are sad or not sad for another week. Jake, this week, are you sad or not sad?
I'm not sad. Without too much detail, I've gotten to work on something semi-creative this week, which after like a year and a half, basically now, or a year and a bit, however long pandemic's been going on, of sort of just working my day job, which is not a complaint because I'm very grateful to have a job throughout all this. But it's not a creative or sort of stimulating job at all. But getting to do something a little more creative, a little more interesting with a friend has been extremely gratifying, even though I am very tired.
You do love to work.
If there's one thing they always say about me, it's I love to work.
I'm on record as having said it multiple times. That's cool. You told me about it, and I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, it's nice, and it's been a nice little way to stretch my brain, even though I'm quite tired.
Well, it becomes rewarding tiredness, right?
For sure. Yeah, it feels better tiredness than like, oh, I stayed up too late and then I had to do like a boring job that just sort of numbed my brain.
Now, hopefully you're not doing this at the expense of your video game franchises.
Well, no, of course not.
Okay. Your priorities in order. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah.
What am I? I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, exactly right. You're an adult man, obviously. Yeah. Yeah. Good. That's great. I'm glad.
The Toronto Mules are well looked after. Don't worry.
Yeah. Listen, it was never in doubt. Boy, oh boy. I guess not sad. Well, sad. Sad? Yeah. We've as people know, like, we snuck away and got married last year.
Right, of course.
But as I'm sure you've had to go through, you lose, but the venue is like, hey, we can't have your wedding, obviously.
Right,
you're like, course. Yeah, obviously. We weren't going to come if you did. And then we rebooked for August of last year because it was like, oh, everyone stays home for 2 weeks, all good. big old thumbs up. It's 2 weeks. By August, everyone's laughing. Hey, remember when we all stayed home? Obviously, by the end of May, we were like, all right, well, August never. And then we were like, okay, well, May 2021, we can maybe have like our 1 year anniversary will be a party because a year from now, obviously, we'll have learned from our mistakes as a community. Obviously, we'll have all realized what the greater good is, right? We'll all struggle together. We'll realize that this needs drastic action for a drastic solution. And by May of 2021, we'll all be good to go. Obviously, that's not happening either because it's worse than ever. Somehow, some way. So, like, just this continued, like, I guess the thing that we wanted to do that we were looking forward to is just, like, never going to happen the way we want it to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And it's selfish because, obviously, we do the old caveat of, like, many people have many things that are more important than this. And you know, obviously, we knew a long time ago we didn't want to have a small, like, not a small thing, but you don't want to have a wedding when it's, like, people are wearing masks and nobody's dancing anyway, right?
Right, of course. There's no fun. As we also looked at, there's no fun in that.
Yeah. But now it's just like, we just have no idea. It's just sort of a bummer. And you have to deal with, like, you know, the similar to how we had to deal with getting refunds for the honeymoon and stuff. You're just like, all this crap you would, in a million years, you like the biggest purchase you made in the longest time. You're just like, it's like the one thing in the longest time I bought that was expensive that wasn't like a TV or a video game. You know what I mean? Or like rent. Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm going to spend a lot of money for this one big thing and it's going to be awesome. That's the one thing that the world wipes out. And you have to go through all the pain in the ass of doing that huge stuff refunded. It's like, man, what a kick in the ass. And obviously, again, many people, many bigger problems. And thank God we ran away and eloped last year. Holy cow.
Yeah, seriously.
You guys as well, I'm sure. Like, thank God you went and did the thing you did, because now you'd be sitting there and
can't even
like,
do that. Can't even do that.
Now. Right? We couldn't do what we want. What we did, like, it's ridiculous. Exactly right. So, like, you know, we're blessed, and you know, it was just like, oh, what a pain in the ass again. So now it's just like, yeah, we have nothing booked anywhere, and we have no idea.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
That's it for another week. Jake, always great to hear from you, first and foremost.
You too, buddy.
I can't believe it. Just energize. I could talk to anybody with the Blue Jays right now. You know what I mean? I could do. If I saw a crossing guard, I'd be like, Jays, huh? And he'd be like, yep.
If we wanted to, this show could be 4 hours long just about the Blue Jays.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. Yeah, I could do it. Listen, no question. Thrilled tonight for George Springer. We are going to look back at Brett Laurie as well on Friday. The Sportsfeld Storytime look backs. It's the last week of Brett Laurie week. Speaking of thrilling Blue Jays games that were ultimately a middling team, Brett Laurie Mania. If you weren't there, you would understand. It's part four of that series, comes out on Friday. You want a piece of that? That's patreon.com/sportsfeld. You also get monthly mailbags, which we have coming up at the end of this week as well. So tons of content coming out this week, and as well, of course, every Monday. If we talk about it, it could just be us talking about the Jays for an hour. It is just Blue Jays talk for an hour every Monday. It's Blue Monday. It is just rambling into a microphone about the Blue Jays with some special guests and recaps and stuff. It's all in the bundles available at patreon.com/sportsfeld. We hope you'll join us there. You also get Discord access, all kinds of stuff. It's a good time. And above all, we thank you, the folks listening to this, for listening to another episode of Sportsfeld.